SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Place in football where the offense is always on the field is on Moneyline with the two best hosts in radio, Donnie Wrightside.
If anybody wasn't watching, listen, I don't know what you were doing.
And Kevin Walsh.
Forget act like you've been there before.
On the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius XM Channel 159.
Best of every day now officially underway. It's Wednesday hump day right here on the Sports Grid Network. I'm Donnie Wrightside. This is Moneyline. And a lot to get to today. Still basking in the glory of my Philadelphia Eagles getting a second Lombardi trophy ordered, will be on the shelf, and away we go. We'll get to some of that. We like to set the table with some things around the sports landscape. By the way, tonight, a massive, massive night in the NBA. We'll take a look at that. College basketball. Had a good night in college basketball yesterday. We'll hit that card tonight to see if we find any intricacies that make sense, because it is February the 12th. We are just a few short weeks into the future of March Madness and everything that entails. The conference championships, the Field of 68, Selection Sunday, and away you go. Big things here, no doubt about it, on the Sports Grid Network. But you know what I saw today too? Which usually, if your football team, your favorite teams, let's just say, are getting knocked out, or your basketball team stinks, your college team, pro team, whatever it is, hockey team, pitchers and catchers have reported to spring training. And I love to see it, because as you guys know, as passionate I am as a football fan, love to handicap it, and also in the industry that we work in, I am really blessed that I love football and I love baseball, because there's very few crossover months that you don't have anything to talk about. Now, do I bet preseason spring training baseball? No, I don't. Could care less about that. But as we sit here, mid-February, the end of next month, Major League Baseball will be underway. Football just ended this past weekend. So you have like a one-month gap, which means you have 11 of the 12 months covered with your favorite sports on a day-to-day basis. And it's sensational. Get ready this year as we ramp up, which 10, 15 years ago, it was sides, it was totals, it was team totals. Now, the one hit, one RBI, one run scored markets are fantastic. We are going to cash in this summer. We will have so much fun with that. But as I said, football season, that's, you do mourn a bit. It's hard for me to mourn when my team won the Super Bowl, and Friday there is going to be a parade on Valentine's Day. Then you have what? The combine coming up in Indy, followed by free agency, followed by the draft, followed by OTAs. And then before you know it, the first week of September at Lincoln Financial Field on a Thursday night, the Philadelphia Eagles probably going to be taking on what I think is going to be the Detroit Lions, and away you go into football season. But it is what it is at this point. But if we do look towards baseball, like everybody thinks they can win. I mean, I guess outside what, Pittsburgh? Like who else? Like Kansas City won not too long ago at that point. But let's just say, yeah, we outside of Pittsburgh and Oakland / Sacramento. The one thing that we know entering into the baseball season, it's fun to start. Like April, fantastic. May, June, July. Then when you get outside of the NBA Finals, it does start to bore a little bit in those dog days of summer as we wait towards football. But as we get there, like World Series odds, it feels like, guys, it's a foregone conclusion already with the Los Angeles Dodgers and the roster that they put together here. Let me just head over to Fangraphs. And guys, if you don't subscribe or use Fangraphs, shame on you. The best possible site that you can go to, which tells you exactly what you need to know, but obviously can overwhelm you with the amount of statistics that they put up there and the amount of numbers where you have to go trial some error to find in what you like. And you guys know me. I break down these games on a day-to-day basis once we hit baseball season. So much fun to look forward to. But if we're just looking at the teams themselves, like let's just go, because I'm looking at the roster here for the Los Angeles Dodgers. And at the FanDuel Sportsbook, for the Dodgers to win the World Series, plus 250. A ridiculous price. But that's because why? They, the Dodgers, have a ridiculous team. Like just going over the anticipated, let's just say, starting lineups, right, for them. Will Smith, catcher behind the plate. Max Muncy at third base. Mookie Betts at shortstop. Kim at second base. Freddie Freeman at first base. Outfield, Teoscar Hernandez, Tommy Edman. Maybe Michael Conforto blast out there. The DH? Yeah, it's Shohei Ohtani. How about the starting pitchers here for the Dodgers this year? Anticipated. Snell, Yamamoto, Glasnow, Sasaki, and Ohtani. That's your top five. Kershaw just got re-signed as like a mascot for a one-year $10 million. Who even knows if they need him? Gonsolin's there. May, Knack, with an unbelievable bullpen that they have. And we talked about so many times about the Dodgers where I'm not upset with the Dodgers. I think what the Dodgers are doing for me is very good for baseball. And you might say, Donnie, what are you, stupid? Good for baseball. They're ruining everything here. They spend more money than anybody else. Yes, they do. They have a very passionate fan base in a large market and deep-pocketed owners. That's what you're supposed to do. Don't get mad at the Dodgers. But here's where the Dodgers are helping us out. By signing all of these great baseball players, it's in my hopes, and it sounds crazy, that the Dodgers run roughshod over the National League, head into the World Series, and win another one this year. Because the smaller market teams will then start to push back, people will get angry, and maybe that forces Major League Baseball into a lockout. Now, will I like that in the future? No, not necessarily. But baseball is in one of those doldrums they're about to hit where one team is putting on a show. Like typically you go into the ballpark, hey man, Mark McGwire in batting practice, well, he's putting on a show embarrassing everybody else. Like Mark McGwire's hitting balls into the upper deck and third decks here when most guys are just barely getting it into the outfield, if you catch my drift. That's what the Dodgers are doing. Because we need fiscal responsibility back in baseball, which means everybody is on the same playing field, which they're not. Tell me what league has most teams spending as much money as they can when a fraction of the team, which is like 10 to 15 teams probably, not trying to spend money because they want the team spending money to get in the luxury tax so they get the money on the back end. It doesn't make any sense. Teams like the Marlins have a nice brand new, we can't compete unless you build us a stadium. And they built the Miami Marlins a stadium in Dade County. Took all the money in the world away from the taxpaying public and put it into the arms and the pockets of the owners, who then in turn spent no money on their roster. Why? Why are the Marlins profitable? Not because they have a nice new ballpark. Nobody shows up to that. Not because they have a television deal, which everybody else in Major League Baseball has. It's the fact that they try to pay as least amount of money on their payroll, because if they stay in that level, they're going to be profitable no matter if they get a single fan buying a ticket to enter that ballpark. Make it make sense? It doesn't. But I did want to start here with Major League Baseball and spring training, because just getting the looks, you know me, look, I'm a Philadelphia guy. Love the Philadelphia Phillies. And if you are looking at the price points here on the FanDuel Sportsbook to win the World Series next year, Dodgers, Yankees, Braves, Phillies, Mets. The only other team under 15-1 is the Baltimore Orioles. But on a night-to-night basis betting, man, like just trying to, like, I haven't thought about baseball in so long. Yes, you're watching free agency. Yes, you're watching teams re-sign their players. But it doesn't hit you until spring training is on the way. Like every local news broadcast, no matter what city you live in, is going to show them loading up the tractor trailers from the home ballpark to drive down to their spring training locations, whether that's Arizona or whether that's in Florida. It's sort of a sign of the times, like we're headed for spring. And we got a couple inches of snow here in New Jersey yesterday. And it's like, man, it's cold, it's snowy. What better way to start your day than seeing pitchers and catchers start to arrive? Like, baseball season now is here. Now, over the next 2 weeks, they're going to start to play that spring training schedule, which is decent to look at. I know some people bet that, and good luck to them. I don't partake in that whatsoever. But once we get to April, and baseball's here in our lives, coinciding with the end of the college, basketball season, national champion, as we then ride into the NBA playoffs and the NHL playoffs, and away we go. It's great stuff. It's your boy, Donnie Wrightside, right here on the Sports Grid Network, and I will be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
By the way, I had Pete Jensen on from the NHL Network, NHL.com, on the early line today and bringing us all the updated information with what's going on in the NHL. And if you don't pay attention, which, you know, a lot of people don't, to the NHL, particularly early in the season while football's going on, myself alike, my Flyers are average at best, usually stink for the past 5 years. So until they get really good, maybe my focus won't be quite back on hockey. But there is something interesting going on, which I don't know if a lot of the people understand. The Four Nations Tournament, that's Canada, United States, Sweden, and Finland, in sort of a round-robin tournament instead of the All-Star break. And I think it's really interesting because I love Olympic hockey. Like, you know me, guys. I don't like soccer. I don't watch the EPL. Could care less. I think it's boring as all get out. Each his own. I don't watch the MLS. I think it's a terrible product. Once again, if you watch it, to each his own. But I love the World Cup. I think the World Cup is sensational. I love the bigness of the World Cup. I love people laying it all on the line for their country and how much it means. Like, I love watching the three Lions, the seven, whatever the Lions are over there as the English team. I think it's awesome watching England play soccer and how much it means to their country. Brazil, Colombia, Paraguay, Uruguay, all those guys. You're not even Team USA at that point, right? Sweden, well, Belgium over there playing soccer, Norway. All great stuff. All great stuff. But I do think that Four Nations face-off is really interesting because what would you rather have? You want the Four Nations tournament, where you have Team USA, Team Canada, Team Sweden, Team Finland, who really want to get after it. There's bad blood always between Canada and Team USA. That's great stuff. Sweden and Finland here looking to be world supremacy. And look at the price points. Canada, plus 145. United States, plus 155. Sweden, plus 420. And Finland at 10-1. There's nobody 150-1. It's really good hockey. And also, when you look at the All-Star games, outside of baseball, which is the easiest to reproduce, unless we start seeing pitchers go out there throwing 55 miles an hour and it gets to be a joke, that's the only sport that I like to watch the All-Star game in is baseball. Basketball is horrendous. The NFL, who I feel like, as a badge of honor to myself, I was able to get Roger Goodell to cancel that football game altogether because it was an embarrassment. Just because something makes money doesn't mean that it's actually a legitimate product and you should be putting it out there. They ended that. Now it's a little bit even more embarrassing, but doable. Have all those stupid games where people might show up and watch, which I don't watch at all, but it's much better than the actual product that was being put out there for the game itself. The NHL, horrible product at the All-Star game. I don't know. Didn't they try like 3-on-3s and 4-on-4s and nobody hits anybody and it's 15-14 final score? That's brutal. So you know what the NHL goes? You know what? We're going to practice and get ready, I guess, for next year's Olympic Games. Let's have a tournament here, which I think is great because if you are on Team Canada, you know the national pride that's going to take place tonight at the Bell Center when they face off tonight against Sweden. It's going to be like Canada shuts down. This is what they wait for. This is what they love. And this is what the players understand they need to perform in front of their nation. I love that. Tomorrow, Team USA takes on Finland. I'm not a big hockey guy right now because I'm not a hockey fan per se. I'm a Flyers fan, but I like big moments. And if you're going to have out there Team USA trying its damnedest to win this tournament, Team Canada doing the same, same thing with Sweden and Finland, isn't that way better than an All-Star game? I got to be honest. Like, will I clear time from my schedule to get a peek tonight at Canada and Sweden? Probably not. But if I stumble on it, I'll watch. That's going to be an electric arena where Canada understands hockey is their best national export, and they want to keep it that way. But I'm also hoping that Team USA brings it as well. By the way, Canada, minus 255 favorite tonight to beat Sweden with a total 5.5. Tomorrow, Team USA, a minus 350 price, Finland plus 275, and a total also 5.5. Those two teams meet here. That's fantastic stuff. Which brings me into the next realm here as Jordan P. settles in here to the chat box. Thanks for chiming in there, guy. By the way, if you guys want to get a hold of the show per se, Sports Grid On Demand on the YouTube network, more subscribers every single day. I always, when I'm doing the radio show, like what we're doing now, live, even solo, it's always up on one of my monitors here. So if you want to say hello, get in here, get in, get out, say hi. What's up, Jordan P. in the chat box saying hello there. Also, like if we take the NHL All-Star game and just dismantle it and do a tournament every year, it would play much, much better. Now, granted, it does take several days, maybe a week and a half to play tournaments. Maybe you don't want to do that, but I like it. I like the idea. Shut the NHL down for a week, week and a half. Play with national pride on the line. People will tune in, people will have fun, and people love to see the superstars playing together and playing hard, not just in an exhibition joke type scenario. They'll get after it. Which brings me up next, which we'll talk about it more. Today is Wednesday. Keep in mind, guys, tomorrow is a Thursday. Moneyline not going to be here with myself and Kevin. We have some extra plans here at the network, Pro Football Today. We're going to film another special tomorrow, which you guys will be seeing certainly very soon, as of, I would assume, this weekend. But back on Friday, where we'll get Kevin's take, if he wants to appear on a Friday, which I'm usually solo anyway, on what his thoughts would be on the NBA All-Star Weekend, which, again, brings me up to this next notion. Like, okay, if hockey is doing this and the fans approve of it, why can't we keep doing that? And for me, again, I always say it, to each his own. Some of you out there listening right now might love NBA All-Star Weekend. As a kid, I thought it was awesome. Like the All-Star Game, which back then played on a Sunday afternoon, not night, superstars playing hard and having fun. There was nothing better. Because number one, we didn't see these players on a night-to-night basis on ticket packages and social media. So it was almost like your one chance to see all those stars together in one moment, and it was great theater. But let me understand this. If we back off of the NBA All-Star Game and sort of do what the NHL is doing, not a four nations tournament, but let's just say, I don't know, seven or eight nations tournament. Team USA, Slovenia, France, Spain, Brazil. You get the point I'm bringing up here, right? Canada. How much fun would that be? Where these guys would actually be playing for national pride. And it's not so much that Team USA is like, yeah, been there, done that. It's basically what we do in the NBA. But on the opposite end of the spectrum, how much the other countries would love to go toe-to-toe with Team USA. And it would be fantastic theater. Do you remember how fun, just going back to last summer, guys, was the Olympics? The Olympics were phenomenal. Why not recreate some of that and remove the ridiculousness of some of these All-Star games? It's not a bad thought process, people. It's really not. How about this? Let's talk a little football here in the next segment. Then we'll flip it over to the NBA card and the NCAA action. Moneyline, baby. Wednesday afternoon. It's your boy, Donnie Wrightside. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Right back at it, people, having some fun on a Wednesday. It's a hump day. We're going to push you over the hump. We're going to get you towards the weekend. Are you mourning that the NFL is over? No more betting chances in the NFL? Did you make money? Did you cash in? I know my producer, JP, cashed in over the weekend here. Big shout out to the Philadelphia Eagles, because you know he's a big-time Eagles fan. It's what he does. Loves the Eagles. Loves them inside and out. Loves to bet on them. Yep. Loves to win. Loves all that stuff. We're all Eagles fans here at the Sports Grid Network. But how about this, though? Nevada Sportsbooks, they love that outcome as well, because not only did they not win money against JP, they won $22 million on the Super Bowl in Nevada. Where were those bets? Of course, they were parlays. They were heads, tails. They were ridiculous exotics, and also maybe an overwhelming majority of the people betting on Kansas City in the city of Sin City. How about that? $22 million win for the Nevada Sportsbooks. Books always win. They barely ever lose on Super Bowls or anything because most of us are trying to hit home runs on parlays. Now, for me, I actually went 5-5 on my prop bets in the Super Bowl. Had a couple plus 180s mixed in there. So more fun for me winning the game for the Eagles, but did pick up a small amount of money on the game. Had a very good season overall, had some fun doing it, and hopefully be able to do the same thing next year. And also, we talked about yesterday with Kevin on the air, the Super Bowl averaged a record number 127.7 million people watched the Super Bowl, which I thought was actually incredible. And just to double back on that, where it's a game where the Eagles were just in it 2 years ago. With they were, obviously, the Philadelphia Eagles have a big fan base. The Kansas City Chiefs are a dynasty in the making, so what we thought, winning two Super Bowls in a row, trying to make it a third. But usually you don't get that much people watching per se if on the fringe, if it is a blowout. Kendrick Lamar, obviously, at halftime, you're probably going to get a little bit of an increase because most people who are watching the game will never change the channel. Some people aren't interested in the game, just interested in the music. They want to check in and see how the halftime show is. They'll tune in at halftime, sort of spiked in rating a little bit. But that's pretty impressive where the Eagles and the Chiefs had the biggest recorded record number of people watching the game at 127.7 million. It just goes to show you again, like football, my goodness, is absolutely king. It's really just absolutely king. It's crazy that these numbers can still go higher. When we were told before the game, ah, come on. Nobody wants to see the Chiefs again. Nobody wants to see the Patriots. Nobody wants to see the Eagles. We want new, fresh teams in there. Not necessarily. And sometimes it doesn't even matter who the team is. I know new streaming outlets hitting the market here, people watching on cable, people watching at sports bars. That is a massive number for the NFL, which they can turn around, of course, in their next television deal and say, we're only going higher and higher in ratings. So kudos to the NFL. Put on a great show in New Orleans. And look, I went to Los Angeles, Las Vegas, and now New Orleans for the Super Bowl. By far, my most enjoyable experience was New Orleans. Walkable city, nice weather, partaking in food. We had a great little bistro. We were eating that on a day-to-day basis. You know, after my first night in New Orleans, getting settled in, not being on Western time, or Pacific time, let's just say, and being on Central time, so much easier. I really enjoyed it. And it also did help that the Eagles were in the Super Bowl, and we got to talk about them all week going up against the Kansas City Chiefs with the legendary people of the sport talking with us. Fantastic stuff all the way through. Love to see it here. But again, the NFL is going to take some time for us to sort of rejuvenate. Like a couple weeks away, as we said, from the combine, free agency, and the draft. But how about this, though? We talked about it yesterday on the early line. One of those hot topics that's coming up, and we'll continue to ask questions. Do we get an answer sooner than later? It's Travis Kelce, which he said is going to take some time, then decide on his playing future. It's interesting that, you know, you do get caught up in the emotion sometimes right after the game. And you might have like, look, I just can't go back out there for another season. There's no way my body can take it. I am spent. I am exhausted. So I'm going to retire. Then you sort of get a week away from it, week and a half away, 2 weeks. Body starts to rejuvenate a little bit. You start to get that hunger back in your system. Like, you know what? I think I might want to give it another round. But for me, I said yesterday on the show, and a lot of clips, you know, floating their way on Twitter, and if you're following the Sports Grid Network on our app, you'll see all the stuff that we do. It's probably an underdog that he does retire, right? He's 35, which again is in NFL years, that's really old. He's got a ton of money. You know he's probably going to get engaged and or married shortly at this point. When does his post-career start? Which the joke is, like, he makes a lot of money now in football, probably going to make even more once he retires. Like Tom Brady, right? Made a ton of money in football and goes to the booth and signs a $300 million contract with Fox to call games. Like, if you are very good in media, which Kelce is, you are very popular, which he is, and you have the intangible of having your future wife possibly being Taylor Swift, maybe you want to get to that post game as opposed to that after special, right? You want to get to the post game of your career and head into the booth and enjoy the rest of your life with a ton of money. We got more ways to go here, people. Let's start to turn it over. A little basketball talk next. How about that right here on Moneyline?
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Right back at it here on the Sports Grid Network, Sirius XM Channel 159. It's Moneyline. Sonny Redside, solo mission. Tomorrow, once again, remember, Thursday, we'll be off for Moneyline, doing some pre-taping for this weekend's action on Pro Football Today. Then I will be back on a solo mission on Friday. We'll see if we can pry Kevin away for a couple minutes just to get some action out on the airwaves. But I did want to talk about this because you guys know the way I get down. I love to share information, and so many people reach out to me all the time, at RightsideVP on Twitter. Hey, Donnie, what do you think about these numbers? Where do you look at some statistics? How do you get those numbers? Where do you find them? What websites? I love to help people out. I really do. And specifically with KenPom.com. Anybody use that out there? It's by far the Bible in college basketball. Sometimes you look and it's overwhelming. Now, there's certain categories on there that I like to look at more than others. But I know some people just go right to fan match. And KenPom does do a great job of listing the teams and the points that he thinks happens and how those games end up. Like, for instance, tonight on the fan match, which he lists first to last on what he thinks are going to be the most exciting games. St. John's at Villanova tonight, who has ranked 16th on St. John's, Villanova 52nd. He predicts St. John's to win that game 71-69, which, again, going to be close to the spread. That's what he does. Algorithms come out. is point spreads usually generally so close to what those numbers actually are. But for me, some people might say, like, Donnie, what do you use there? Like, you guys hear me talk about Fangraphs all the time. You know, roto grinders as well. Like, where do you find those numbers? What do you look at? Is it weighted on base percentage that you like? Is it ISO power numbers? Is it K percentage, walk percentage? All that good stuff is all rolled in. And we'll get that in baseball, and I'll always do a rehash. But on KenPom, like what I like to use, you say, well, Donnie, don't really see you put out too many college basketball plays. Like, we're well into the season. Like, let me just take a look at, let's just say, St. John's. This is St. John's. St. John's is 23-1. They have 24 games played. But I consider now pretty much the sweet spot of college basketball. St. John's has 3, 6, 7 games left in the regular season. Their last game is Saturday, March 8th, and the following week, they'll get into the conference tournament play, Madison Square Garden, for the Big East. You say, boy, why would you wait that long? Well, technically, you don't have to, but I like to see when these teams begin their conference play. Started here against DePaul, and that was back on Tuesday, December 17th. Now they're 12-1 in conference play after beating Connecticut 66-62 last Friday. So, all right, what numbers, Donnie, do you like to look at? Sometimes you look just on the front page of the St. John's team page. Their adjusted tempo, how fast they actually go up and down the court. You see the offensive rebounding positions, you know, the three-point percentages, the two-point percentages, how they shoot from the free throw line, the length of their team, point distribution, all that good stuff. But when I'm handicapping a game, I like to go with both of the teams on it. So if you are on KenPom right now or just listening now on a podcast that you can rewind right now, you would click on where it says time, and you'll see it says 6 p.m. and allows you to click there. Once you do that, it brings up both teams on the same screen side by side, which is key. Now, once these teams are in conference play, there is a box right under team statistics, and it says conference only. If you click on that box, it removes and filters out every game that St. John's and Villanova played outside of conference play and takes them away. So you only have how Villanova and how St. John's are playing in their own conference, which is phenomenal because it's not fair to say, hey, man, why am I looking at these statistics for Alcorn State when they played 19 games against Division Power 5 opponents? They look like they're terrible. Only if I can see them in their own conference, how they would do. Oh, and there's a button. And it's the same thing with St. John's and Villanova. I don't care. Like, let's go back to Villanova's schedule quickly. I don't care how they played against Lafayette. I don't care about Columbia, NJIT, St. Joe's, Penn, Rider, Fairleigh Dickinson. See what I mean? Like, you can pad stats, even though Villanova lost to Columbia, by the way, and St. Joe's. So usually it's not that way. Usually you're supposed to hammer those guys. But I don't care about those statistics because that's going to cloud my vision of, yeah, they shot great from three-point range and played great defense, but those teams are supposed to absolutely dominate. But once you get into Big East play, it's more of an even playing field. So the first numbers you'll see too, and what KenPom does a good job with, is it does highlight for you. Like, dark red means bad. Light green means good. Dark green means fantastic, right? So it's easy to lay out, but there are statistical categories that some people don't actually understand. Like, it'll list the efficiency, okay? How efficient is your offense and your defense based on the numbers that KenPom uses? Average length of possession. How long do you hold the basketball? Do you make the defense really work? Do you give up the first shot down the court? You get it, right? Effective field goal percentage, which means how you're handling the turnovers, the rebounds, the free throw attempted to the field goal attempted, right? And then the miscellaneous components that they have, three-point percentages, two-point percentages, and free throws. So they're pretty easy to understand, right? You say, okay, well, how does St. John's do on the offensive glass? How about this? Number one, out of 11 teams in the Big East. So if you're looking for a team that can really dominate on the glass, you want an advantage that way, St. John's gives it to you. But then right next to another column, next to St. John's offense, is Villanova's defense, where you can go side by side. Well, how does Villanova rebound the defense? Oh, look at this. Number two in conference play on defensive rebounding. So maybe negating some of the offensive, you know, dominance that St. John's has on the glass, where you say, okay, if they were the 11th team in conference play rebounding, St. John just might wipe the glass with them and get every rebound possible. See? Now you go down to the free throw attempts as opposed to the field goal attempts here, which is a key indicator of how many times does a basketball team get to the line. It's important. And also, does a team foul? So you take a look at St. John's tonight, 4th in conference play at getting to the free throw line. 8th in conference play on defense is Villanova. So you do have a slight advantage for St. John's getting to the free throw line. Now, once again, does it play out this way perfectly in the end? not necessarily all the time, but you understand the styles, make fights, arguments that we have. Now, let's take a look at St. John's on offense from three-point range. Horrible from three-point range percentage-wise, 23.4%. They also don't shoot a lot of three-point shots. They're 11th out of 11 teams in three-point attempts as opposed to field goal attempts, which means they're driving to the brim, they're trying to get buckets inside the paint. You get the point. But Villanova on defense is actually the 11th ranked team at chasing you off of the free throw line. So in instance, Villanova will let you shoot more three-pointers than any other team in conference play. So if you're a team that makes three-point shots a lot, going up a team that allows you to take three-point shots and doesn't defend it all that well, that's a key indicator. But this game, St. John's is like, we don't want to shoot three-point shots. We're terrible at it. So maybe that's a slight advantage for Villanova's defense. It's like, okay, like we'll force you to shoot the three and you don't want to shoot the three. That could be an advantage. But also understand this as well, is you do still want to take a look at, there's a section, there's style components, which I just told you, how many three-point shots you want, how many times are they going to defend it, how many shots you have. And below that is point distribution, because that's also what you want to look at. If you're looking from three-point shots, only 17% of the offense for St. John's comes from three-point range. Villanova, number one in conference play at giving up points from three-point range. So statistically, that should actually be a benefit to Villanova. St. John's doesn't want to score from three. They don't want to shoot the three. And Villanova's like, that's probably the weak spot here. Now flip it over to 2 points, right? Here's another interesting indicator. Just looking at the offenses on what I would be looking at in this game. 2-point distribution for St. John's. Number one in conference play. 64.3% of their offense comes from within the three-point line. The best in conference. They want to get to the rim. They want to lay it in. They want to rebound. They want to get easy shots. But how about Villanova? 11th in conference play here at the number, at giving up. So you have the best on offense and maybe coupled back here with the best on defense as well, being the stingiest. Isn't that interesting where that does play out at that point? So you have the perfect opposite end spectrum storm between St. John's offense and Villanova defense. It's interesting how that works out, isn't it? It's kind of crazy. It's like we give up more points from the three-point line, but less inside. And St. John's is like, we don't like to get any points from the three-point line. We like it all inside. And Villanova goes, good luck with that. We'll defend the heck out of that inside. So it's not. I'm not telling you who to take on tonight. But when you look at KenPom, if you haven't used it yet, you're just messing around with it. It is a subscription service. What is it, $24 for the year? So it's not like you're paying like $24 a month or hundreds of dollars during college basketball. It's an indispensable product when breaking down college basketball that you must use. And now that we have conference play well underway, it is a fantastic tool designed to help you win more money. The way we do it here, share information on the Sports Grid Network. Your boy Donnie Wrightside, short commercial break. Yeah, I'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
NBA, everybody in action. I think it is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 games. All 30 teams in the NBA locked and loaded for tonight. Why? Because Thursday only has, let me see, 1, 2, 3, 4 games, and then it's NBA All-Star Weekend. And I know there's a new format, and I could care less. Or say couldn't. I couldn't care less about the NBA All-Star Weekend. The dunk competition is an embarrassment. A three-point shot, which some of the athletes don't feel like participating. Is Steph Curry even participating this year in the three-point contest? Would love to hear about it. Something's got to change here. We talked about the Four Nations tournament, and maybe something like that can take over the NBA, where all of those other countries can participate. Forget about just NBA All-Stars. That would be so much more fun. They would take it way more seriously, but it is what it is. But again, we have every single team in play tonight, which means you have a plethora of games. And just in the 7 o'clock hour, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 games there. Then in the 8 o'clock hour, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 games there. And then at night, 9 o'clock and after, 1, 2, 3, 4 games. Who's focused? Who's not focused? I think most of the teams certainly would be focused. Maybe tomorrow, when you have those back-to-backs lined up, some of those guys are like, hey, man, I just can't wait for this weekend. I'm flying out to Vegas. I'm flying out to San Francisco for the game. I just want to get away. Maybe we're going to Punta Cana. Maybe we're going out there to the Dominican Republic, Belize, Fiji, wherever they're trying to hang out. Spurs Celtics tonight, heavy favorite for the Celtics. -8.5 points in that game. 233 is the total. Don't have a great feel for that one. Celtics probably should roll, but still a decent number. Wizards, Pacers, brutal game. Pacers lost yesterday and are still favored by double digits on the road against the Warriors with a total in the 240s. That shows you how bad the Washington Wizards are. Hornets, Magic, 12.5 point spread. Could care less about that game. Hawks and Knicks is an interesting one. Now, this game opened up at 8.5 at FanDuel. Now sits at 8 at just about every outlet outside of BetMGM at -8.5. Big total in this one because the Knicks are a point scoring team. Up and down the court they go. They just played last night in Indianapolis and have to fly home to New York and now take on the Atlanta Hawks, who, you know, teams get rejuvenated when they go into the Garden. Trae Young versus that Garden crowd should be fun. I do lean, and again, it was earlier 8.5 at most outlets. I lean towards the 8.5 points there. Total in this game probably should come around that 240.5 number, but with a back-to-back, it's always hard to say how effective that's going to be. Now, maybe if the Knicks played last night in the Garden, the back-to-back was tonight once again in the Garden, that would be different, but not too much of a difference for me over on that aspect. Cavaliers and the Raptors. The Raptors were just at home last night. The Raptors were on the road last night, now return home. They beat the Sixers. They were getting 9.5 points at game time and beat them outright. Embarrassing for the Sixers. We'll get to that in just a few moments. But the Cavaliers getting 14.5 points, laying 14.5 points tonight for me. I think they do win by 15 plus. 13.5 were available this morning. Now they're 14.5. I think it's an absolute smash job where the Cavs are waiting in Toronto for Toronto to return back already as a bad basketball team. Yeah, I'll lay the 14.5 there. Here's the interesting one again. 7:30 tip time tonight from Brooklyn, Sixers and the Nets. Sixers played last night, embarrassing performance. Favored by just about double digits and lost outright to a really bad Raptors team. And this one's like, well, Donnie, what do you want? Joel Embiid's not out there. Maxie missed the game. George is banged up. No, they were all there. They were all there and played horrible basketball and ended up getting booed off the court. So now you're telling me they opened up as a favorite at the FanDuel Sportsbook at -2 points and now sit at 3 at -3 at most outlets. Get out of town. Does anybody out there trust the Philadelphia 76ers to win a basketball game right now on a back-to-back? I don't care how bad Brooklyn is. That's how bad Toronto is. Good grief. Detroit Pistons, Chicago Bulls had the Pistons yesterday with an easy victory. Now again with the Chicago Bulls. By the way, did they flip cities? Were they playing back-to-back in this? Hold on. Let me go back to the scores from yesterday. Tuesday, February 11th. Bulls Pistons, 132-92. An absolute shellacking by the Pistons. So today, Pistons Bulls, right back in the same building? How about the same shellacking, people? They beat them by, 40 last night? By the way, -3.5 is the opening number, already up to 6.5 across the board. Sounds like another double-digit win by the Pistons, just going out there and slam-dunking them again. Huh. How about that? Miami Heat, OKC Thunder, another massive number. The Miami Heat running for the hills, just looking to get to the All-Star break at this point, getting 14.5 at most outlets. And by the way, Oklahoma City probably smokes them in their own building. Smokes them. Kings, Pelicans, 4.5 to 5s. Pelicans feel like they're shutting down their season, but maybe one last effort before the All-Star break. I don't know if I love taking the Kings as a 5-point favorite on the road there. Probably lean towards Pelicans. Bucks, which we saw Damian Lillard questionable now for the game tonight, going up against the Timberwolves already without Giannis Antetokounmpo, getting 8 points from the T-Wolves. If there's no Lillard, I'd say there's no chance they win that game. So instead of just now, let's just say he's banged up, I would probably go under 223.5 in that game. Bucks-Timberwolves. But again, if there is no chance that Dame's playing, I don't see how the Bucks even compete in that one. The Suns yesterday, which very happily lost because I thought Memphis would be able to win by at least 5, and they did. They're going to go on the road to take on the Houston Rockets. They're catching 7 points. Look at the anticipated starting lineup. Does this mean like KD, after scoring his 30,000th career point yesterday, is going to be sitting this one out. Let's see. Jones, Booker, Durant, Bobo, and Nick Richards. So it looks like they're both anticipated to be in that lineup tonight against Amen Thompson, Jalen Green, Dylan Brooks, Tari Eason, and Alperen Şengün. Can they rise up in this game? How much are they getting in this one again? Let me see. You know what? Seven's out there. Hey, give me this. Give me Phoenix getting seven. Come on now. They're under 500 now. They need a win. They need to compete. They're not nearly as good as the Rockets. And they're on a back-to-back. But if I'm going to get Booker and Durant in that game, but this sounds like one of those specials at the end of the day where they surprise you. Like, hey, by the way, we're going to give them extra rest heading into the All-Star break, Booker and Durant, when you should be thinking opposite. Like, hey, yeah, it's back-to-back, but you're getting a week off here in just a few moments. Yeah, come on now, Suns. Who's back in the Suns? Rally to the Valley, people. Getting 7 points tonight. One more segment to go on Wednesday's edition of Moneyline. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Goes quick, doesn't it, here? One final segment here on the show. Good night tonight, by the way, in college basketball. But if you were watching last night, had some interesting scores come down the line, because if you were watching the SEC this season, it's been the best basketball conference by far. Auburn and Alabama, number one and number two, are going to square off this weekend in SEC play. First time that's happened in a long time, I believe first time ever in the SEC. But it's been a couple years since we have the number one versus a number two. And how about Auburn going on the road to take on Vanderbilt, who's a quality program? They win that game 80-68. But even more impressive was Alabama going into Texas last night and winning 103-80. So you thought maybe there was a chance that if not one or both of those teams could have slipped up yesterday. That didn't happen. So we're on a collision course with two 10-1 SEC programs lining up number one and number two this weekend to do battle in the Iron Bowl of college basketball. Florida also, like, how about the SEC, right? In the AP poll, one, Auburn, two, Alabama, three, Florida. Florida picks up a victory over Mississippi State yesterday, 81-68, and keeping it with another two top 25 teams in the SEC. Number five, Tennessee, went down to number 15, Kentucky, at Rupp Arena, 75-64. Now, if we keep scrolling down, there were a couple games that were absolutely wild last night. UConn and Creighton. I thought that game would stay under. It did. It's like 140.5, 141. Stayed under that total, 70-66. Big win for UConn. Liam McNeely returns back to the lineup again. 38 points and 10 rebounds. Maybe they're finally going to start to find their stride with guys much healthier. But take a look at this game between Arizona and Kansas State. It's almost improbable that this happened. And I joked with Ben Stevens earlier this morning on the early line. Game ended 73-70, the Arizona Wildcats got beat by the Kansas State Wildcats in the Battle of the Wildcats. The Octagon of Doom and the Little Apple, Manhattan, Kansas, was rocking last night for sure. But understand this. I don't ever know if I saw these type of statistics from good football, should I say good programs, right, in NCAA action. Kansas State as a team, keep in mind, they won this game by 3 points. They went 1 of 19 from the three-point line. They were out-rebounded 46-33 in this game, and they won. How does a team that makes 1 3-point shot out of 19 attempts hang around? I'll tell you. Arizona, from three-point range yesterday, 2 of 22. One team shot 5% from the three-point line. The other shot 9% from the three-point line. They had three combined made three-point shots out of 40-plus attempts in this game. That is unbelievable. Like, at some point, doesn't the coach just get the way, hey, time out over here. Stop shooting the three. That never got home. Kansas State had a 35-29 lead at the break, held on in the second half. But it's one of those things where I ask, like, imagine that you were on Kansas State yesterday, and before the game, you got a tip. And the tip was, psst, look at the spread on this basketball game. Arizona's favored by 3.5. I'm going to give you one statistic that you can bet on or bet against. Kansas State's going to go 1 of 19 from the three-point line. What would your response be to that information? Let me call my mom. Let me call my dad. Let me call my best friend. Let me steal every bit of money I have in a 401k. Checking account, savings account, kids' college tuition. We're loading up on Arizona. That is a lock. Maybe the easiest we've ever seen. Maybe a 30-point victory for Arizona. The fact that Kansas State won a basketball game from 1 for 19 from three-point range is one of the wildest stats. And I get it. I understand 2 for 22 on the other side. Almost as bad. But a team could win a Power 5 basketball game going 1 for 19 from the three-point line against a ranked opponent and an underdog. You're an underdog and you won a game shooting 1 for 19 from three-point range. Never seen anything like that in my life. Should have been an absolute blowout victory going the opposite way. How about that? How about that for a show here and a statistical analysis right here on Moneyline? We talked about KenPom, some of the statistics that we like to look at. We got the Four Nations tournament kicking off tonight up in Canada. You got NBA All-Star Weekend this weekend. Congrats if you enjoy that. And also, people, Valentine's Day. Take care of your loved ones out there. Won't be here tomorrow for Moneyline. Boys will be back on Friday. At least I know I will help get you ready for weekend action. JP behind the wheels of steel. It's your boy down your right side. Thank you so much for tuning in to Moneyline. I'll see you on Friday.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.